Sounds like Rage Against the Machine. Would you record this?
Oh, this is just off my phone. It's on. It's
in no, but like where?
Goza.
No,
yeah.
That's hilarious. Huh? So that's the same thing that we did.
Oh, really? Yeah. That's where, yeah, that's like cool. Most people practice, right?
Yeah. You show up.
Cool.
Yeah. It's been about a month, but I'm back. Good friend Caitlin here.
Hey.
We just finished a big yoga session, which I missed last weekend, so she worked my ass with a lot worse.
It was a regular sized yoga session.
It was
the standard
extra large
session.
Extra large. But it's been about a month since I've been here, getting off these pills, and I can feel everything so much more now. It fucking sucks.
Yeah, he complained as much as normal, but, you know, there was less of an urgency in the complaints. You just seem tired, just like, no, like, really defeated.
From all the students that you have taught, whether now or before, who's like, compared to me, complain-wise? Where do I sit?
Oh, you're absolutely the biggest complainer.
Oh, Jesus.
But the thing is, though,
I've only had five classes, by the way. And she's been doing... How long have you been doing yoga?
Practicing or teaching?
Combined.
I've been practicing for almost 8 years.
8 years. And,
yeah.
Okay,
and then
teaching?
I've been teaching for four.
Four. So in those 4 years, in 5 weeks, I've become number one complainer.
Yeah.
That's fucked. Jesus.
Yeah, absolutely.
What's my number two? What am I competing with? I guess who's competing with me?
Well, I taught a private yoga class to a girl in Vietnam it was different, like the quality of the complaint, because like you complain while you do it. You complain and then you're like, okay, I'm gonna do it. You complain and you're like, okay, let's do it again. But she would complain and just be like, oh, you know, it's because of this, and then like make a bunch of excuses about why she couldn't do it. And I'm like, this is your time. Like, you're on the clock. Like, it's gonna be over when it's over. If you don't do the postures, then
right.
Like,
it's not like you get to like, oh wait, let's take a break for 5 minutes. It doesn't count, and then come back at it.
Yeah. So.
I've thought of some excuses like that before, but I don't know. Let's get it over with. Jesus.
Yeah.
I'm so tired from it too. It's insane. And I showered and I before you came over, and then I'm just sweating. It was a dumb idea. Stupid.
Yeah, I don't know why you would do that.
I want to feel refreshed, you know.
I always tell people the only time I shower is at the yoga studio. I'm like, I'm not sweating.
She keeps it clean.
That's
funny.
I do so much yoga, my sweat doesn't really smell like anything because I detox with all.
That's what I'm trying to do. But why should people do yoga?
Oh, God. Well, there's a thousand reasons.
I'm just gonna throw these at you. High as giraffe pussy right now, and I'm just gonna keep asking you some random questions out of nowhere. But I just wanted, like, you convinced me basically to do it, like that. Well, I didn't. I guess I convinced myself because I've been waiting for a while. But
I don't try to convince people to do yoga anymore. Like,
maybe wrong choice of words for me, but you know.
Yeah, like I let people come to me if they want to do yoga these days, because I used to try and convince people, but that's silly. It's like trying to convince people that they like yogurt when they don't or something, you know? It's like, it's just not, it doesn't work that way. But
okay.
One of the biggest reasons to do yoga is because you really lose your flexibility and your mobility, your range of motion when you're not stretching. And especially, you know, you use your body actively every day, regardless of what you do. Like, even if all you do every day is like, go to work and sit at a desk and type on the computer, you're still using your spine, you're still using your core muscles to stay seated. And, you know, your body just starts to get into these terrible posture habits. And
what I'm doing right now.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because
I see you going like that. I'm just like hunched back like this. Now I'm self-conscious.
That's what it is. Yeah, I mean, even if just like your sitting and your standing posture are jacked up and you're hunching forward, that crunches your internal organs.
Mm.
And then your internal organs can't work properly. That affects your digestion. It affects so many different things in your body.
I've never heard that. That's the first time I hear that. Like with the crushing organs. I never thought of it that way.
Yeah, if you think about it, like think about the way I'm holding my posture right now. Like, where's my stomach?
Everything
you know,
is like
it's all Yeah, you're not.
Yeah.
It's not working to its optimal ability.
Yeah. Well, you have to describe that because nobody could see you.
Yeah, I know. Like, it's just basically like the standard
hunch.
Sitting position where your shoulders go forward, you round your spine.
Shoulders go forward. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, the shoulders
I just don't even notice.
Forward.
It's just like natural.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to like work in a kitchen, so I could be standing. I barely sat down.
Oh, yeah. The worst is what happens with your cervical spine. You know, you see people, musicians, have this issue a lot.
For people who don't know cervical spine.
Cervical spine is the upper spine.
Okay.
Right, so your upper spine includes your neck. And when your neck is always going down and forward like that, creates so much tension in the back of your neck and in your shoulders. And
she's basically looking at the floor there.
Yeah, you can have so many issues from that. It can cause headaches.
Back pain.
Back pain, obviously.
Yeah.
But the lower spine takes the brunt of your weight and your posture issues as well if you're hunching constantly because you're not sucking your stomach in. You're not using the front of your body to help out the back of your body. So your lower spine is just constantly...
Yeah.
Taking all the pressure.
There's a lot of fake yoga that I heard back at home, right?
Yeah.
What do you know about that? Because I literally heard this like last week because obviously I knew that we were going to do this. So or like a few days ago, whatever. So I started looking at things. But like a lot of fake yoga, especially in the States back home.
I wouldn't necessarily say fake yoga. I would say that there's yoga that does not have really any research to back it up.
Such as? Can you give us an example?
I like, there's laugh yoga. There's scream yoga. Yeah.
I feel like that's like, I don't understand how that could possibly work. What?
Right. So it's basically kind of using it as like a stress and emotional release rather than focusing really on the body and the breath.
Why do they say it works?
You know what? I don't know. I've never done that kind of class because I don't spend money on like bullshit yoga.
but because it's interesting. You know that it doesn't work. You know it's fake. But like I'm wondering like why.
I imagine that it is therapeutic for the people that go to it. For people that have issues with releasing their emotions, I imagine going to something like laugh yoga or like scream yoga or they have God. There's this thing that's popular now. And you'll see it all over the place. And I'm not gonna sit here and call this bullshit because I've never done it.
But you didn't do laugh yoga either.
No, I've never done laugh yoga either.
But it's bullshit.
I can't stand like in this glass house and throw stones because people will say Bikram yoga is bullshit. But
I'm gonna come back to that.
We can come back to that. But there's this kind of yoga. People do like drinking yoga.
Drinking beer.
Yeah, like drinking
But you
alcohol.
Have to know that that's just, like, nonsense. You have to know that.
I feel like people...
Is that the one that you were thinking about that was popular now?
It is. It's growing in popularity.
I mean, people are fucking dumb, so... I mean...
I don't want to personally say, like, this is dumb because I've not done it. And I actually do know somebody that teaches these classes. And it's only one beer, right? Like, they have
okay.
a beer.
I thought it was, like...
So, yeah, you're not getting wasted in doing yoga. But I just... You want to be, like, in control of your body. Like, why are you going to put that into your system and into your mind?
That's why I'm curious to know what their justification for that.
Yeah, like, it's a toxin. Alcohol is a toxin. And, you know, as someone that used to drink really, really, really heavily, like, I feel very comfortable saying that without, like, judgment, you know? But I just wouldn't introduce, like,
but you're comparing drinking a lot to just drinking one beer, though.
Yeah, but one beer affects different people in different ways. You're going to do activity.
Yes.
And then drink a beer. Like, maybe you ate right before yoga. You're fine. What if you haven't eaten in 6 hours? What if you...
Do you know how long those classes would be? By like would it be, like, an hour, hour and a half?
I would assume an hour.
That's a long time to have a beer sitting. Yeah. Just sitting around, just... casually drinking a beer.
Yeah, but
doing yoga.
I'm also saying this from the perspective of somebody who has a very low threshold for blacking out. I've blacked out after 2 drinks.
I know. You're not just a guest, you're a friend of mine. I've known you for like what, 2 years already? Something like that? Right.
Oh, since that fateful night. The Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, different
Caitlin has different very white tolerances. Skin. She's red right now. It's hilarious.
Wow. Thank you for pointing that out to everyone listening.
Yeah, all two of you people.
Yeah. So, yeah, just everybody has a very different tolerance. And if I had a beer and I was doing yoga, like, I would be a little bit loopy, you know, after one. To be honest.
But over, that's what I said, that's why I said before, over 60 or 90 minutes though?
Yeah.
Like, really?
Yes.
I don't know, that's just strange. So that's three different whack yogas, I guess.
I don't want to call like drinking yoga whack because I feel like, you know, one of the reasons that people do yoga and they do it in a class environment is because they want the sense of community.
Mm.
And that's a very real thing, to be able to bond with people over a shared activity. So if you want to combine the two and do drinking and yoga at the same time, it's just not something that, like, I personally think is very I just kind of feel like those two things are counterintuitive. Have a beer after class.
Yeah.
Don't have a beer during class.
That's probably the kindest way you could put that. I know what you're thinking. It's all right.
Yeah.
Why is Bikram yoga not fake? Not that I've heard of it, like, being fake. It's just, I don't know. I know nothing, by the way. Just remember that when you listen to me speak. I have no information to back up anything I'll say. So.
Well, they have done, like, research on
Who's
Bikram
they?
Yoga. Scientists.
Proper ones?
Medical community. Okay. Yeah. They've measured, like, like, how many calories it burns, like, bring the heart rate up, the benefits of sweating so much during class, the benefits on reducing your stress level.
I don't doubt that it's good. It's a good, for me, it's a good distraction, trying to get all, you know, clean up and stuff like that. It's a good distraction. It makes me feel good, for sure. It sucks during the time. Like, when we're having class, like we just did, I don't want to do it. It's so painful sometimes, but, you know, you gotta push through, I suppose. But yeah.
That's the miracle of yoga, is how you feel afterwards.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like shit, which is right after a lesson. I can barely feel my shoulders. He destroyed my shoulders today. I was like, all right, Caitlin's going to come by. She's going to do, like, maybe she'll do, like, something like we've already done, because we haven't done, we skipped last weekend because, like, it was busy or whatever. And so I thought it would be, like, something I already know.
No.
Nope.
I wanted to do something new today.
I even started the class, like, are you gonna make me sweat today? Because, like, you know, I was cold. It's been cold here for, like, randomly 3 days. It was like hail yesterday here, hail. But yeah, that was, I thought it was gonna be an easy, quotes in quotes, an easier lesson.
Yeah, we did an easier one the last time we met.
No, for sure. But yeah, no, it's been really, really good. So, like, people on the fence that you would just say try it out, but start how? Like, what? I don't even know what I'm doing. I'm like five classes in. Like, I don't know what kind of yoga I'm doing.
Oh yeah, well, I'm certified to teach Bikram yoga, and I'm certified to teach Hatha yoga. I've also done an Ashtanga yoga retreat.
You're speaking like I know what these things are.
Yes, they're just different schools of yoga. There's tons of different schools, and I got my Hatha certification from a very renowned teacher, and it was a 200-hour intensive certification, and that's where I learned.
Jesus.
How, yeah. Oh, dude. Like, the things that we did in this training, we had to, well, first of all, we had to start our classes at 7 with, like, self-practice in the morning. 7 a.m., that's not that bad, but we were up until 12 or
This
1.
Is a proper course, though. Like you went to, like, school for this? Or, like,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. We were up until 12 or 1 doing homework every night. And, yeah, so in the morning we would start with sun salutations, just like our own self-practice. And then we would go to our communal bathroom, and we would drink 3 to 5 liters of salt water and induce vomiting.
Why?
It's an Indian cleansing technique.
How'd that go for you?
It was, as someone that was... used to have an eating disorder years back, vomiting was not that hard for me.
Well, wait, so you had to do, so this was after that had happened, right? Like, you had to do that in school that after the eating disorder?
Oh yeah, I've been recovered for like
how did that feel? How, like what? Having to like do like go to school, you're doing what you wanted to, you're studying what you want to study, and then they tell you that you have to drink salt water and like throw up. Does that like fuck with you? Like
no, it doesn't fuck with me. I mean, because I've thrown up, I've made myself throw up before for like drinking. you know, like when you come home and you're just like, oh man, like this is gonna end badly, so you just like make yourself throw up.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, so it's like not that.
But having any kind of disorder, anything wrong, right. Like it has to have an imprint in your mind. So that's why I was asking that. If that brings up any like in that situation,
I thought it might, but it didn't because you're not allowed to eat before you do the induced vomiting. So you're literally only throwing up water. Your stomach's completely empty. There's no food at all that comes up. You just the contents of your stomach is the salt water that you've vomited. So it's like, it's really it is a really clean feeling.
Really?
Honestly, yeah.
How much did you have to drink?
3 to 5 liters. But after about 1.5, you start wanting to puke, but you're supposed to just fill more and more and more and then make yourself do it. Like you really have to work to get 3 liters.
I wonder who the first person to figure that out and fucked up with. Right. Like what if they're like, all right, 5 liters, still all right, 6, 7, you know?
Yeah.
Someone had to have thought of that. That's fucking crazy. A detox method, you said?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we're talking like 14 of us, like in this bathroom, just like puking.
Like, where
at the same time.
That's hilarious. That's so funny.
Yeah.
Jeez, that's terrible. I just puked up that salt water, I suppose. But how long did you not have to eat beforehand?
Well, we were doing the vomiting at about 7:30 in the morning.
Oh, so you had that sleeping time.
Yeah, we hadn't eaten since the night before.
And what kind of homework did you like?
The homework was just
stretches and like practicing all this.
Well, we were practicing, right, so we did about 20-30 minutes of self-practice in the morning together, and then we would do 3.5 to 4.5 hour long hot yoga class with our instructor who was leading the group, and that was so intense. We're talking for people that understand Celsius, about 44 degrees. It was about 115, 120.
I've heard of hot yoga, and it's supposed to be very, very good. That I have. That Bikram, and that's a think about it.
So this was hot hatha. The sequence that I learned, I can do in hot settings or in a normal temperature setting, but this was really, really intense. Like one of my friends that I was practicing with and was doing the training with, she is actually she's a yoga champion. She's like ranked 8th internationally.
Jesus.
And she suffered heat stroke and threw up twice. Like it was.
Do you know where that came about though? Like the hot yoga.
Because again,
it goes to something like I said before, like where someone had to have thought of this.
Yeah, it's funny because the origin story of Bikram is kind of like ever changing. Like there's a couple of different stories for how the heat got started. Like some people say it's heated to imitate the heat that is just standard temperature in India.
That makes sense. Okay.
I heard another story that Bikram himself used to lead classes in Japan, and in the winter it got really cold in the studio, so a student brought in a space heater, and then the next day another student brought in another space heater, and then it kind of became like a joke, and more students kept bringing in space heaters until it was really hot. Right. They just practiced in a really hot room and then continued, like it took off from there.
So this is recent.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that. I thought like yoga goes back.
Hot yoga is recent. Yoga itself goes back, you know, so long. But
that's how you know it was that recent. I thought someone was like out in the desert or something, just stretching, and it's like, oh, this works, and then pass it on. Yeah, I have no knowledge of anything.
Well, so the reason that we continue with the heat, like, there's a lot of different benefits for
practicing. Well, the sweating has got to be good in itself.
The sweating itself is good for, as, like, a detox. It also, when you sweat and you practice yoga, things like grip, right, that becomes harder. But that's good because you're actually using more strength.
That makes sense, because I can't even get my grips now, and
right. So
and I'm sweating, but I can't even imagine that.
Yeah, you've really got to use that concentration, like really focused movement. The sweat also, you know, when you're in a yoga class, right? So I have a really active mind, less active now, like after years of doing so much yoga, like now I can actually quiet it. But when I started doing yoga, I had insomnia, like I couldn't get my brain to shut up ever. And then I was in a Bikram class the one day, and I just, you know, class is so fucking hard and it's so hot, and it was summer, and all of a sudden we were on the ground and it was 90 minutes was over, and I realized that for that entire 90 minutes the only thoughts that had been in my head was, it's fucking hot and how do I do this posture? And those were the only thoughts. I wasn't thinking about like food or like my friends or what I was gonna do later that day or like something that had happened earlier or how I was gonna make it to work or make rent or whatever. Like all of those thoughts had just switched off, and I was only in the room and only in the mirror, in the heat, in that moment for 90 minutes. And that was a fucking miracle to me.
That would make sense of why we would have the heat though.
Yeah, it right? really keeps you... Because it makes you
focus on one thing.
You're in your body, you know. Like, you know right. you're hot, and your mind like, just keeps telling you. No, because
that makes so much sense. I never thought of that way either. Like, that just, like, came to me. But, because I'm sweating so much while we're doing class, and then... But I'm thinking of 100 different things at the same time. 100 different things. Sometimes I just get high before class, and I'm still thinking of things even more. It's fucking terrible. But the heat makes sense. How do I not focus on other things?
That, honestly, it comes with time.
Yeah, but I'm impatient as fuck.
I wish that there was an easy answer. You know, they say that. Well, the truth of it is, the reason people started doing yoga is so that monks basically could meditate for longer. So their body was more comfortable so that they could be with their thoughts and let their mind be free because there was no pain in their body. You know, the discomfort of sitting for 12 hours a day meditating was going to be ameliorated by the fact that they were doing yoga and stretching their body. So with yoga, the idea basically is that once your body's right, then you can get back to your mind.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
It's very, very, that's some words of wisdom right there. I'm gonna put you on a motivational post.
So, and it's like, I came into yoga I wasn't going to it for a spiritual reason. I never was into the spiritual aspect of yoga for the majority of the years that I practiced. But over time, the mind got quieter and quieter, and the mind became calmer and more focused, and the spiritual aspect that a lot of people enjoy from yoga, that just started to come in. And, you know, I like laugh at myself all the time because now I do Reiki, and I've gone to like meditation club, and I've considered doing a Vipassana for 10 days of silence. And it's just, these are all things that I never ever thought I was gonna be into.
10 days of silence in a very large city seems very difficult.
You would go to a center.
Is that just for discipline though? Like just taking up like a 10 days of silence, you know?
So a Vipassana, I'm not the expert on Vipassanas because I've never done one. But
you're more of an expert than I am.
Yeah, and that's good enough for me. Yeah, I can inform you about Vipassanas. You would be better off asking somebody else for like more details. But I dated somebody that has done like 3 or 4. So he's informed me more about it. A Vipassana, you would go to a Vipassana center, which is typically like some kind of temple, and then everybody that's doing the Vipassana, they wake up like early in the morning, and they just meditate all day in silence. They take their meals in silence. You're not allowed to talk for 10 days, even though you are with other people. And then the final day, you're allowed to talk. But there's so much introspection that goes on. You get to come to a lot of realizations because there's no distractions. It's just you with your mind, with your ego, working through that shit that you keep putting off.
Right.
Basically your whole life. Like that stuff that gets buried, the stuff that you haven't sifted through, the stuff
you have
that
no choice but to get them out.
You just have to deal with it. And, you know, almost everybody I know that's done it says that you typically spend like a good day to 3 days just crying.
Really?
yeah. You just cry.
I would think that would come like later as like, I guess if you have no control of that, but like, I couldn't not do that. I guess in the proper settings, like you would have to go somewhere. You can't, like I said, you can't just take a vow.
No, like, you have to go.
Right.
I mean,
because you're with other people and stuff, but like, coming out of that, I would have to say so. I would have so much to say, I feel like. Like, I just have no communication. I like communicating with people. I don't know if I could ever do that. Could you? You said you thought about it.
I've thought about doing it. Right now, where I'm at, I don't really want to. Like, I do Reiki. I get rid of that, you know, stuff that I've held on to by doing Reiki.
Yeah.
But, maybe one day in the future. One of the cool things about it is, you don't pay for the Vipassana until the 10th day when you leave. So you pay what you feel.
Suggested.
There's not even like a suggested donation or anything. You just pay what you feel, and they feed you the whole time. You sleep there.
That's very interesting.
Yeah.
My first roommate here was really into Reiki, but she was also an idiot. yeah. No, like, oh, this girl was so dumb. And I'm not trying to say like I'm like a smart person or anything, but I was definitely smarter than that girl. Like, she was just, but. You know, so it left, and I lived with her for like a year and a half, maybe almost 2 years, and about a year and a half. Where the fuck was I going with this? Oh yeah, so she left a really bad taste in my mouth about Reiki, mm-hmm. right? You tried it with me, and it's like, you know, it was that. You know, it wasn't like I didn't feel anything like she had described. All I really heard about it was from her.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know. Like, what is it, and what can you get out of it?
So Reiki is the energy, it's channeling energy from the universe. So
That's a very big statement.
It is a really big statement. It's kind of something that is difficult to make sense of, even as someone that practices myself. But basically, you know, we're all connected to the universe, and we're all connected to this energy. But we, as humans, operate on a very low frequency, where we're not in touch with that energy. We can access it like a little bit.
Psychedelics.
Yeah, there's different ways. but for example, like we give ourselves Reiki in like small doses without realizing it. Like say you stub your toe and your instinctual reaction is to like grab your foot and like rub it. That's giving yourself Reiki. That's you healing your body with touch, with energy, with like the intention of making that pain feel better. So Reiki is you're accessing the energy of the universe that is healing, that is balancing, that is like releasing of pain, and you're just sending it with intention to the different chakras of the body.
I stub my toe a lot. I hurt myself, and I always rub it like that. But I always thought it would be rubbing it to distract myself from the actual pain rather than sending it out. I don't know.
It's an example of Reiki. You know, like a mom kissing like her kid's knee when they scrape it. Like, that's Reiki. That's like you're kissing a knee. There's no medical basis for doing that. You're just like, but it's this
comfort,
loving,
though.
It's a comfort. It's this loving intention of energy.
But you can said. You can like then you can say a lot of things are Reiki.
Yeah, you can say a lot of things are Reiki.
I don't know,
it's painting things with a broad brush.
Yeah. That's exactly right. Yeah, yeah. So that's why, like, you know, cause she would talk exactly like that, and then she brought in, like, crystals and shit. I just lost her there. I was like, but can you, like, expand more? Because she, like, only because she would tell me she would, like, feel that, like, again, like, a release of thing like that, and she would feel like she's, like, above, like, her body, like, feeling all these things, and I just, you know, I want to know more, basically, about why she would say that. Like, do people actually feel that as someone that, like who's done that a lot or has it done to you?
The thing is, it's just, like, everybody has a different experience. We all live in different bodies, and we all have, like, really different mindsets. So the experience of the energy is completely different from person to person. Like, I've given Reiki to people who are just like, oh, well, I feel really relaxed. A lot of the times that I give Reiki to people, they fall asleep. Like, I would say 60 to 70% of the time that I give Reiki to somebody, they fall asleep. And I actually, I have a friend that did...
Is that good, though?
You know, I have a friend I did the same Reiki course with, and he and I do Reiki exchanges together, so he'll do it on me, and then I'll do it on him. And we were talking about our gifts, right? And, like... It's great to talk with him because he knows what he's talking about.
Gifts as in like
inner, like,
gifts,
your talents.
Okay.
As a practitioner. Okay. And, you know, he said to me, he was like, you know, maybe that's your gift. You, like, make people feel relaxed and they fall asleep. And a lot of Reiki goes where you need it to go. And that's kind of one of the messages about being a practitioner and being someone that receives. Like, the energy has the wisdom of the universe, which, oh god, like, I sound like such a hippie, but I really do believe
it. I'm gonna ask you, like, do you see why people wouldn't believe that, though?
Yeah,
like,
of course.
No, but because you're saying, because you're saying, like, oh, it has different effects on different people, so that just seems like a cop-out.
Right, yeah,
I know. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, oh, you didn't feel anything, maybe that's what you're supposed to feel, nothing like that.
Yeah, I totally understand.
That's my problem with that.
I understand the skepticism, but,
That's my tummy.
Yeah. You know, a lot of people carry so much stress, and, you know, I make people fall asleep. A lot of people need that rest. They need that.
I mean, it was definitely relaxing when, because you done it with me, or to me, or not with me. Mm-hmm. Because I don't know what the fuck I would be doing. I wouldn't even know how to begin that. But, and I was relaxing, but I think it was relaxing more because of the, whatever, what did you have? You had some like
Reiki music.
Yeah, well, yeah. Reiki music, whatever. Yeah, it was very, very
Tibetan
relaxing.
Singing bowls.
And I guess it was relaxing overall, but, like, I don't know. I guess I was just hoping for more.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Like,
yeah, of course. I've had Reiki sessions where I don't feel anything.
But see, do you think that then that's like, then that person doing it is not doing it right?
No.
No?
Because it also goes from session to session. Like,
that's so fucking loud. Sorry. Yeah. I'm so hungry, though. Go ahead.
All right, I'm just gonna give two examples, right? Of me receiving. So this is before I was a practitioner myself. I went to a girl, and I had Reiki done like 5 years before, and then I found out that this person was doing Reiki, and I set up an appointment with her. And we had a session, and when she got to two different parts of my body, like two different chakras, I just felt this incredible emotional release. I was tears just pouring out of my eyes. And then when, like, I calmed down from that area, she switched to another area, and there was a complete energy shift and a different kind of release where I was crying, but it was crying like I've gotten through this hard thing. Like, it was a different quality of release of emotion, like, very, like, tangibly different. And that session just left me feeling so much better, and I had so much clarity. Like, I made this choice afterwards that I'd been really, really struggling with, and it was, I really believe that if I hadn't done that Reiki session, it would have taken me a lot longer to come to the same conclusion that I did come to eventually. But anyway, so I had that really powerful session with her. I went back to her a couple weeks later, and I just had a session similar to the session that I had with you. Mm. I just felt relaxed.
Right, right.
But
But you knew that before, like that.
But yeah, and I knew that it was still, you know, it's the same person. I'm the same person, and after that session, I had been like seeing this person that was not. It was not good for me. The whole situation just wasn't good for me, and I hadn't really even like thought about it that much or considered it, whatever. But I got out of that Reiki session and I was just like, wow,
time to make changes.
Yeah, I was just like, you know, and I really believe like that again, the Reiki had helped me come to that decision sooner. Like, I could have let that go on for longer. I really could have. And it just opened me up to where my path should be going.
In the end, I guess, whatever makes people feel better and more positive, I suppose. And yeah. And better, like, loving themselves, I suppose. You yeah. know, if that's what gets you through, if it's, I guess, suppose if it's for religion that gets you through, whatever it is, even mm-hmm. though, like, you could be skeptic, but, like, if it makes you feel better, then by all means, that's, you can't really hate too much. I think people will hate a lot more, or, like, criticize it more if there's many bullshit artists out there that are just trying to make money off of things like that.
I think it would be hard to be a bullshit artist practicing Reiki, to be honest. Really? Like, I really think...
Because
in order to be able to channel Reiki, you have to believe that you're doing it. Because or else, without the intention, nothing's going to happen for you.
But if you can convince other people, though, that you can do it...
Maybe.
Then you could definitely just scam people like that.
I would just be really surprised if there was someone doing that.
I would be surprised if there weren't. Because it would be human nature to just take advantage. It would be human nature to just take advantage of a situation like that. There maybe, are people that 100% will believe bullshit.
Maybe it is. Maybe I just believe that human nature is better than that.
You're fucking up there.
Oh man. So are you the type of person that like reads Ayn Rand? Is it like everybody is inherently evil?
Not everybody. I mean, there's gonna be, but you know, I'm just saying it's in our nature to top the next person.
Yeah.
And that's where I think, you know, it's just, you know, to be the better person and be the survivor that moves on, I suppose. But I don't know. That's what I think about. I mean, it did feel relaxed, but like, you know, now you're kind of like using pretty solid cases of how it's supposed to make people feel and have me have second thoughts. But you know,
I'm pretty high level. I don't say anything about it because I don't need to say anything about it. Like, if you want it again, you can ask for it again. But I've seen you make a lot of big changes in the past month, and I did Reiki on you a month ago. So I'm just. Yeah,
she's selling herself right there.
No big deal. I'm just saying, if you want to like put some pieces together,
I will put some pieces together. I have no okay. I will put some pieces together, and I'll tell you that's a big coincidence, because the number one reason. I mean, obviously it's terrible, whatever, like taking tons of painkillers and opioids and shit like that. But at the same time, they made it illegal to sell it over the counter here, and you need a super hard prescription. So I had no choice.
Right.
So it's, you know, that's a coincidence, I think. Either or. Yeah. I'm sorry. I always try to, like, be an asshole about it, but, you know, sorry.
I don't give a shit.
No, that's good. You stand here, you're like, give me, I wish people could see what you look like. You're like, give me this evil eye, I'm going to fucking slap you.
Yeah, I give the evil eye, but I keep the smile on my face.
Yeah.
Where so it's like, you're not even going to see it coming.
I know. that's hilarious. Any other things you could recommend like that? Because I know that you're going back home to continue in what? Because I want to move on to that, to the next part.
Oh, going back home to pursue a graduate degree in clinical mental health counseling.
Right. So why? Because like I'm interested in mental health for reasons like this. In the States, they give a lot of what do you call it? Like a lot of medication.
Prescription.
Yeah, prescription. Like, but like for like antipsychotics and antidepressants and stuff like that. And right. I don't think that many people need them.
Right.
And I think that's a huge problem. But I think
people, doctors or whatever, or whoever, psychologists or whatever, are pushed to
psychiatrists are
pushed into selling these medications for, mm-hmm. for like big bucks. So like, what are your thoughts about that?
I do have to say that I believe in like a mixed model. I think that counseling and therapy needs to go alongside of medication if medication is necessary. And there are definitely cases where medication is necessary. If you are schizophrenic, you need to be on medication.
I agree with that. Like, but like these people are like pushing it to like everybody.
Everyone, yes. Like antidepressants, anti-anxiety. Yeah. I know plenty of people that are on medicine that, and I know a lot of people that have gone off medication because it like messes them up too much. And you know, a lot of people experience the feeling of being numb to their emotions, and it's like, even if
I can attest to that for sure.
Yeah, like even if you're experiencing a negative emotion like depression, right, or anxiety, to have the absence of emotion is like
zombie-ish.
Yeah, it's zombie-ish, but it's also like, it's so disconcerting. Just right, like in your mind, to deal with the fact that you don't have any emotion, you know that you should, like that's,
oh, like something deep down is telling you like you shouldn't be feeling this way. You should actually have like emotion.
Yeah, right. Yeah, and you know, people don't like having that cognitive dissonance, and I think that, you know, therapy is incredibly effective because you get to, you know, the root of the issue, like the root of, like, what is it that's causing your anxiety? What is it that's causing these negative thoughts that you have?
I've been to therapy for many years. So, like, I understand that. I understand how good it is to like talk to people like that. But like, why do you want to get into it? And like, you know, do you think? Well, why do you want to get into it?
Well, I want to work with the eating disorder population.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That's from past experience, obviously. Right. Like, yeah. But you know, and what do you want? Like, what do you want to bring to people?
Because
you obviously want to do good.
Yeah,
so, of course. Yeah, no, but like, you have those like good intentions and stuff, which is great. But like,
I think like a lot of what I want to bring to the table is seeing yourself as more than just a body, and it's actually, you know, this really for me, this does tie into yoga, and it ties really heavily into my experience with Reiki,
mm-hmm.
because. Before I did yoga, I was a runner.
Okay, that's cool.
I ran to burn calories. And I ran a marathon while I was in my eating disorder recovery, which, you know, it had its benefits, but at the same time, it was like, you know, I was seeing a nutritionist and I was like, all right, so how much do I need to eat to live? Like, okay, I'll eat that much and no more. Like, if I told people, like, what I was eating while I was training for a marathon, they would just, I really think they'd be appalled. And
because it's so little?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Really.
Oh, and you were burning, well, okay. Yeah, that makes
sense.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, can I train for this and not die and still be skinny? Like, I was so scared of gaining weight. And then I started doing yoga, and I stopped running, and I stopped thinking about calories, because I knew, like, how many calories I burned, like, per mile, per, like, hour of running, whatever. And I stopped that, and I started to see myself in the mirror, and I started to see what my body could do, and I started to see myself as, like, I wasn't just seeing the parts of my body that I hated.
Mm.
I was seeing myself as a whole
person. Right.
Yeah. And I was seeing myself for my ability and not just like my stomach or my legs or
you realize how silly it is. Like,
I realized how silly it is.
Really? Because like, I mean, looking back, you would think like these are, I mean, they were terrible. It would be obviously a terrible experience. So like, oh, but it is silly in the end. Like,
It is silly. You know, they actually say it's normative for women to hate their bodies. That's,
I obviously can't speak for that, but
yeah, it's a cultural norm at this point for that's there to terrible. Be body dissatisfaction. It is. Yeah. It's really awful, and I really want to push for more body positivity. And also, like, men don't deal with this. Why should women have to deal with it? Why should there be such a fear of getting fat. Like, who the fuck cares if you gain weight? You're still a good person, you know?
And there's a line, though, between, like, you don't want people to be super obese, though, because you know that's equally unhealthy.
It's actually not. What? You know what is more unhealthy than gaining weight is the stigma against being fat. Almost everything, there has been tons of research that has shown that it's actually being stigmatized for being overweight that leads to all of those negative health outcomes because of stress from being stigmatized. You know, that stress causes you to be in poor health.
Right.
And it's not the weight. Actually, people that are at a higher weight live longer than people that are at a lower weight.
But how, like an average or like above average?
Above average.
Oh, above average.
Yeah.
That I didn't know. And I have nobody to fact check me, so.
Yeah.
So I'm going to have to believe you.
That's because we live in like this diet culture and.
No, food is terrible. Like, I mean, I can speak for myself. I eat fucking pasta, pizza. I shit every day. It's really, really bad. I mean, look what I'm eating right now.
I don't see anything wrong with that food. It's just eggs.
Yeah, but it's from 7-Eleven. So? It's like,
yeah, I mean,
it looks greasy. It looks greasy as fuck, you know.
It's probably like pretty processed. It's,
yeah, that too. I mean, yeah. Where do these eggs come from?
Yeah.
There's a lot of them.
Here. But
diet's important for sure, even though I'm just lazy.
I think, like, for myself, like, diet is important, but at the same time, Reiki has really brought me back to myself as some, like, outside of the body, just, like, inward. And that has really helped to shape the decision with where I move forward. And I am actually, I'm actually working really, really hard to start eating more and start exercising less. I used to practice 9 yoga classes a week, 8 or 9. So we're talking either 7 days a week or, like, 6 days a week and just double classes, like 3 hours of hot yoga, like on top of each other.
There's gotta be a limit to that, though. That sounds like excessive.
It is excessive, but I did that for years.
And that could be bad, long-term effect, or like...
I don't want to say that it's bad because, you know, people train, for example, and...
To do 3 hours a day, 7 days a week?
You know,
even if you're exercising, like, you have to have a rest. You have, like, a break.
I know. Yeah, it was very compulsive, and I'm like, I'm just trying to be kinder to my body. And
but what I'm saying is that you're not.
I'm not anymore. Right. Yeah, now I practice 4 days a week, but you know I can't not practice because I have a messed up back.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm in that field too. With the back.
You know, like yoga is going to be something that I do for the rest of my life because of the health benefits, because it gave me back, you know, a life without pain, and I'll never be able to like actually fully step away from it, even though it is like interwoven with some of my behaviors.
Pain, like actual pain or like
actual pain,
because that's really what I'm trying to find an alternative for. The opioids that I used to take is an alternative, and this really, like, I mean, I feel good. Yeah, it's like it really has been helpful for sure. I'm going to change this for a second, but I'm going to bring it back around. We're both musicians here.
Mm.
When do you write? You write your own songs?
Yeah.
Okay. So then we both, you know, write music.
You've seen us play.
Yeah. No. I'm not saying your band. I'm saying you personally.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. That's what I meant. I don't write lyrics or anything, but I write music, and I think a lot of like whatever outside influence is affecting life goes into that music, right? So I'm very curious, because I haven't probably written how it's going to be in the future compared to what it was, because I personally think some of these music that, like, that I've written, especially with all the talented musicians that I've worked with, is, you know, it's pretty good. So I'm hoping that still stays consistent. Do you think all of what you just talked about goes into your music as well?
Yeah,
like having all that outside influence, and like a, can you give me an example of that? Or are you just like in your lyrically, you're like, do you write the actual music?
Well, I'm doing a solo project now.
Ooh. She's plugging her shit. She's...
So, well, I play the ukulele, and I've been playing the ukulele for...
Oh, you told me this. Yeah.
Since I moved abroad. So, I should be way better at the ukulele than I am. Been playing for, 6.5 years. So I do write my own songs on the ukulele that I've not done with my band previously. Mm. And it just kind of kept it to myself, but I've been working harder on that. And I would say having a clearer mind has actually led me to be a lot more focused in writing music and, being able to have the patience to be okay, how can I make this work? Mm-hmm. I really want to see... I don't want to just start this. I want to finish it.
Right. And
prior to that, I would have, a lot more frustration with myself, whereas now I have a lot more compassion for myself, where I'm okay, this isn't working. Let's try something new.
Right.
And rather than getting, frustrated and giving up, and I have a lot more... I wouldn't say I have a lot more confidence, but I have more drive. Mm-hmm. I've been doing open mics, and I am going to be doing this project with a bassist and a drummer that will be doing the songs that I've written on the ukulele, and I will be fronting. There's not going to be a guitar.
It's nice.
Going to be me playing, which is really, really frightening, and it's something I never would have had the courage to do.
Well, I mean, you I forgot that you had started a band, and then out of nowhere, I remember seeing you guys at some food event.
Pizza Fest.
Yeah.
Last year.
Yeah, and I was you guys are doing shit quick. You guys are moving up, and it's really good. And we've actually played with you.
Yeah.
At Temple, it was really, really cool. But you guys, I like the sound. It's not a lot of fully original bands that I've seen here that are not cocky or... We're just not good, but
yeah, I think that the music that I was making with Bill is a little bit.
Bill
more.
Is the band, and by the way, that's what we were listening to in the beginning. I completely forgot because I went right into complaining about my yoga class. That I completely forgot the whole point of playing that was so you could tell us about the band as well.
So that's the band where I sing, I write the lyrics, and then Brett on guitar. Pam on bass and Will on drums. They write the music, and I just do the lyrics for it.
Do you think, do they have that sense, do all of them have the same lifestyle like that? Yoga and
No. Oh my gosh, no. I'm the only one. I'm the only one in the scene, I think, basically, that lives the kind of lifestyle that I live. I go to Temple until 4 a.m. and
and then right back at it.
And then teach a yoga class. I've stopped drinking. You were there at my birthday. I did drink.
Yeah, and you had a class with me the next morning. And
I did.
There.
I did drink on my birthday.
And I felt worse than you did.
I know. I just had a good face. I felt terrible. But I have been not drinking since I started doing Reiki, so since November 1st.
Yeah.
And that was the only day that I did drink. But
yeah.
I still
called you out on Facebook. Sorry. I actually thought about that today. I was like, that's just fucked up to do, because you're my friend. I shouldn't be fucking doing that shit.
But I also I don't care. I don't have secrets. I don't pretend to be a different person than I am. I did drink.
Yeah, it's just funny. I just thought it was funny. It was fucked up when I wrote it anyway.
Yeah. I think I'm kind of an outlier in the scene.
Well,
I don't drink anymore. I do yoga, I do Reiki, I don't eat refined sugar, I cook most of my own food, but I love to party.
Yeah.
I do, and I make music, and...
Well, it's hard not to do both, do the music and a little bit of partying, here and there. But, so, the reason I asked was, because when you have, you have obviously good chemistry with your bandmates, and your bandmates are your friends as well, right? But when you have kind of similar interest in that if they all had interest in yoga, for example, like that, do you think
that would be different compared to like what it is now? Like, do you think their music contrasts what you're bringing lyrically? Does that make sense?
Does it make sense? No. I guess it does make sense. I feel like if everybody did yoga, everybody would be so much more chill.
Well, no, of course. But what I'm saying is like. I don't know. When you write music, we were just saying like we use whatever environment is around us, and we bring that into our music.
Oh, you know what? I write a lot of songs about drugs. Mm. Yeah, and I write a lot of songs about like.
That's like not to say that the other bandmates do that.
But... it's not. Definitely not. But I write songs about partying. I write songs about God. I write songs about relationships. I write songs about living abroad. Like, I'm not necessarily always writing like lived experience songs. Yeah. Okay. But that's also been, you know, me growing as a musician over time. But, you know, it is the environment. Like, you see where we live now. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of, I call it Peter Pan syndrome, where it's just people that are not growing up.
Mm.
And I like to say to people, because I use this term a lot, like, it's a lot of people that miss their Saturn return. And, you know, every 27 to 29 years, there is a period of time where your patterns that haven't been serving you just appear in your life, and it becomes, like, glaring, basically, that, you know, you should make a change, and you don't have to. You can do the easy thing and not make a change, or you can do the hard thing and like knuckle down and get through a couple of really shitty months and make like the big changes that you need to do in your life. And a lot of people opt out of that, and you see that here.
You 100% do see that here. Yeah. And myself as well, as like I did the same exact thing.
Exactly, I was gonna say exactly. I mean, if you had made the changes like years ago when it became apparent, would have been an easier time for you, because there was already a ton of upheaval going on, and it's just like, just deal with all of these shitty things at once, and then it's over with.
Yeah, no, you're right. I agree. Yeah. Would you believe that we've already done an hour? Yeah, that was really fast.
It's only 57 minutes.
Yeah, I know. I'm just making sure that, you know, like, you know, because if you still do, because you got to go at like 3.
Yeah.
Is that right?
I know.
But, That was nice. I learned a lot. About, oh man, you got how much you're gonna push me in the future. So I'm looking forward to that. But
no, we're just getting started.
Yeah, like, I know.
I'm just working on the basics. Like, when I do private classes, like, it's really about building a foundation first, because there's no one you can watch. Like, when you're in a class environment, you can watch the other people and like get a better idea about what you're gonna do, but you also don't know if you're doing it right. Whereas there's only you. But I'm going to make sure that you are doing it right.
That's good. Do you want to plug any shows?
No, I don't have any shows coming up.
Oh, why?
No. Well, our drummer's away right now, and then we had like Chinese New Year where we couldn't practice. Cause,
you know, I play drums, right?
I know you play drums.
I just try to sneak my way into anywhere I can, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
Do you know how many drummers do that?
Yeah.
None. So you're like... Everybody's
this
like,
is probably
I'm
the third
in,
time.
Like,
the third time
I'm already
that
I... in four bands. Like, yeah. I can't join another band. Yeah. Whereas you're like, I'll join any band.
I just like to play, you know. I have my drum set over there, but you know, just gonna throw that out there for you. But yeah, you know, you want to tell a little bit more about the band?
Well, the band that I am in called Bill is kind of
and your solo projects.
All right, yeah. So Bill is kind of like an alternative type band. I think we sound a little bit 90s. We're kind of moving more towards a little bit more pop, rocky, punk type direction. Shitty Sister is the band that is going to be me fronting with the ukulele with my two friends, Tyron and Rudy, on bass and drums. And that's going to be, if you are familiar with the band Hole.
Yes.
So that's kind of like the vibe that I'm going for a little bit with that.
That's really funny. And that's really funny because of the lifestyle that you have now. Courtney Love and like.
I love Courtney Love's honesty. Like Courtney Love.
She doesn't give a shit.
Give a shit, but she also doesn't pretend she's anything she's not, and I love that about her.
Fair enough.
She's not like, I've got it together, guys. She's like, I'm on drugs.
I'm a fucking wreck. Hey, she did what she had to do. But
she's very talented.
Yeah, that's great.
She makes great music, but I'm trying to go in more of a like grungy like.
Yeah.
But pop direction.
The name of the band is Bill, and we're going to get out of here because we're out of time. But, yeah, thanks a lot for coming by.
Yeah, no problem.
Laters!